Hello, and welcome to Good News Gathering. If you enjoy this lesson, we invite you to check out Good News Gathering at one of our Sunday services. Visit www.goodnewsgathering.org for service times and directions to our ministry center. Now let's join teaching pastor Jeff Lyle as he presents today's lesson.
Morning, everybody. It's great to see you all out this morning. And if you're a first-time guest, we're excited that you have chosen to spend some of your morning with us. And it's our hope and prayer that when you leave today, you will consider the time to have been well spent. Okay. Now, my name is Jeff, and in the packet of information that you received when you came in the auditorium, you got this white sheet with holes punched on the side. And what that is that's an outline. It'll kind of help you follow along with this morning's lesson. We'll get to that in just a few moments. But we're in the third week of our lesson series entitled God on Film. And we've had a lot of fun over the past couple of weeks deriving biblical principles from the medium of recently released movies. And I thought that those of you who regularly attend GNG might like to know that last Sunday, we had our largest ever attendance during the month of July. We had 765 people here last Sunday morning. Yeah, pretty cool. But here's what's really exciting about that number. 165 of those folks were from 0 to 8th grade. Okay, nursery to 8th grade, 165 kids. Really cool. Also, our brand new high school program is up and running, and later today they're going to be heading down to Cincinnati to a place called Zip City. Real cool. And so if you would like to be involved in that, or if you know somebody that would like to be involved in that, look for Robbie and some of our high schoolers out there in the atrium after the service. Okay? Now, today's movie is The Circle. And when you think about this movie is really what you would call a cautionary tale about the impact of technology, social media, and the information age on freedom, privacy, and personal integrity. This movie asks the question, what would it be like to live in a society where everything is under surveillance? What would that be like? And it paints a picture of a future which, in many respects, is already upon us, with everything from compulsive oversharing to social media witch hunts. It's reality TV on steroids. And the movie is about the main character, who's Mae Holland, and she's this ordinary, unaccomplished young woman who's languishing in a dead-end job and struggling with her father's debilitating illness. Her life appears to be headed nowhere. But then Annie, her best friend from college, who works at the world's most powerful tech and social media company, The Circle, pulls some strings and gets her a job. But the orientation process at The Circle is at first a bit overwhelming for May. It's hip, it's cool, it's trendy, it's cutting edge. Everything about it is state of the art. But May quickly comes to realize that working at The Circle is not just a job and it's not an adventure. It's an all-encompassing way of life.
Your payment, it was for $78.13 and the bill was for $78.31.
Thank you.
You got the job at The Circle.
Have a drink, have a good time, and stay excited. You're at The Circle.
Hello. How would you describe what The Circle is to, say, your grandmother?
It's the chaos of the web made elegant.
Speed round, Paul or John?
Early Paul, late John.
Mario or Sonic?
Early Sonic, late Mario.
Introspection or communication? May.
Sorry, I'm thinking about it.
So that's introspection. Sushi or Soylent?
Sushi.
Ever owned a Velcro wallet?
Yes.
Velcro shoes?
Yes.
Velcro pants?
Yes.
What was the name of the receptionist who checked you in this morning?
Linda.
Joan Baez or Joan Crawford?
Joan Didion.
GIF or JIF?
I'm not answering that. There's too much at stake.
Would you like to go out with me?
It's very inappropriate.
Good. Quality or convenience?
Not mutually exclusive.
Needs of the society or needs of the individual?
Should be the same.
You're most scared of?
unfulfilled potential.
What?
It's all uncensored. The elevator reads your ID and says hello. We do that for visitors mostly. They're usually impressed.
I think that's the worst picture of me ever.
Oh, come on. Oh, dear. Daddy!
What's
so,
up?
So, you remember Dan? I'm handing you off. You're all grown up.
I have the privilege and the honor to give you your brand new tablet, May, and I sent the password to your phone.
Oh, my God. It has my name on it.
Oh, this is too sad. You take care of my little girl.
I will. If we don't give customers a human and humane experience, we have no customers. It's pretty elemental. Jared will be doing your training. I oversee the team, and Jared oversees the unit.
As you know, you'll be doing straight-up customer maintenance for the smaller advertisers. You work in your portable here. They send a message to customer experience, and it gets routed over to one of you. It's random at first, but once you start working with a customer, they'll continue to be routed over to you for the sake of continuity. You get the query, figure out the answer, you write them back, and that is the core of it. Simple enough in theory. So far, so good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your work's been exemplary, strong ratings, but your absence at several events.
Sorry, my dad had an episode and I was home helping out.
Is that related to his MS?
I've been looking into your parents' situation and I have an idea. So I was thinking it would make sense for May's folks to come on the Circle Health Plan.
I want to say how much I value what you've done for my family.
May, you're a valued part of the Circle. We care about everybody you care about.
May's only been with us for a few months, but she has made quite an impression.
What's not to like? The Circle really seems to care about its employees. The pay and the benefits can't be beat. Sure, it's a little disconcerting that they seem to collect and analyze and store information about people that you'd never know they had, like pictures of her back in college. How'd they get a hold of those? Annie must have posted them. And how did they already know about her dad's MS? I mean, aren't medical records covered under the right to privacy? May must have mentioned it on Facebook. Then again, why would May complain? They could have picked more flattering photographs of her, of course, but just putting them on display in all the elevators, I mean, made her feel so important. And the Circle's health plan is fabulous. I mean, Cadillac doesn't even begin to describe it. May could never afford it on her own. What's more, the Circle is willing to provide it for her dad and her mom. Is it really all that big of a deal that they have to wear bracelets that monitor their every vital sign 24 hours a day? Seems like a small price to pay for your health. It's just a minor inconvenience, right? And the Circle is developing fascinating new technologies like microchips that can be implanted in newborns so they can be tracked at all times. Okay, maybe it sounds a little creepy, but how thankful would you be to have that technology if your child got lost or kidnapped? I'm thinking some of you parents of teenagers would like to have that right now, okay? May quickly rises through the ranks, and she's assigned to a new project that's introduced at a company meeting by the Circle's charismatic founder, Eamon Bailey.
I am a believer in the perfectibility of human beings. When we are our best selves, the possibilities are endless. At the Circle, there isn't a problem that we cannot solve. We can cure any disease and we can end hunger without secrets, without the hoarding of knowledge and information. We can finally realize our potential. Circlers, do you like to share? Do you see any cameras here? No. We have 144 cameras in place here. And it took us just a day to do it. And they're virtually invisible. They come in every color. So camouflaging is essential. This is my favorite. Oh! Nice catch. Sign her up. So, now, the entire world is watching. You know, I agree with the Hague, with the human rights activists all over the world. There needs to be accountability. Tyrants and terrorists can no longer hide. We will see them. We will hear them. We will hear and see everything. If it happens, we'll know. We're calling it sea change. Sea change. Oh, and you'll know the good things too. We will see it all. Because knowing is good. But knowing everything is bad.
As the corporate mantra says, sharing is caring. If you truly care about the world in which you live, you will be willing to share your life with the world. In fact, withholding information is a form of theft. Another one of their mantras is, private property is theft, and secrets are lies. Why? As Bailey said, because knowing is good, and knowing everything is better. If it happens, the circle will know. Tyrants and terrorists, beware. The circle is watching. Sounds great, doesn't it? No more tyrants. No more terrorists. No more human trafficking. The world could be so much more safe, so much more secure, because everything is under surveillance. But for all of its supposed benefits for the common good, there's a deeper question that has to be asked. When we have the ability to monitor everyone's every move, haven't we just traded one kind of tyrant for another? Doesn't the loss of freedom and privacy involve a terror all its own? A wise man once said, when a nation rejects Christian morality, there will come a day when the people gladly give up freedom for safety and security. Let me repeat that. When a nation rejects biblical morality, there will come a day when people gladly give up freedom for safety and security. You see, all this obsessive compulsive sharing and constant surveillance doesn't sound so great to May's childhood friend Mercer. He likes life off the grid. He prefers living under the radar. He minds his own business, which just so happens to be woodworking. But when May posts pictures of a chandelier he crafted out of deer antlers somebody gave him, it sparks a social media firestorm. And he confronts May about the ramifications of a virtual life.
The stuff you posted about my work.
Your chandeliers?
Yeah, I know you meant well, but...
What's the problem? I thought I saw good stuff going on.
They started calling me a deer killer. And then there's a campaign to shut me down. I wasn't even online. I was working. And when I checked my email, there were death threats.
I'm sorry.
Death threats, May.
Obviously, I never meant for this to happen, but I can fix it.
May. May. You listen to me? I can't do this. I can't be a part of this world that you're creating.
What are you talking about?
Look at these people. Does this really seem okay to you?
Why don't you go kill some more deer, Mercer?
I never killed any deer. I don't kill deer.
Mercer, look. Let's not do this here. Let's go upstairs. I'll figure it out with you.
Do you ever leave this place, May? We used to go on adventures and have fun and see things, and you were brave and excited. And now it's all filtered through this. Bye.
But May is too enamored with the unfulfilled potential of the technology to think about the consequences. I mean, shouldn't the needs of society and the needs of the individual be the same? Doesn't society's right to know outweigh Mercer's desire for anonymity? In this virtual day and age, does anyone really have a right to be left alone? As May's worldview gradually conforms to the circle's worldview, she makes the decision to go fully transparent.
In the interest of sharing everything she can with the world, May has some news.
From now on, I'll be wearing a modified sea change camera at all times. I'm going fully transparent.
Well, maybe not in the bathroom.
be starting immediately.
That's right.
May will be the first Circle to share every single second of her work and her personal life with the public, so let's give her an even bigger hand.
Good morning, everyone. Sun is shining, and I definitely need my coffee. We are in my third week of transparency, and we're up to 2,308,007 viewers. Wow. Did I tell you guys I'm not a morning person? Okay. Among all of those viewers are... I don't even know what to... Hi, Mom. Hi, Dad.
Hi.
Hi, May.
Say hello to everyone.
Hello, Circle.
Look, we match.
Yeah.
We sure do.
These are great.
Very stylish.
I love you guys. I'll see you later.
Love you.
Love you too, sweetheart.
Bye.
As May rises to the Circle's inner circle, her willingness to expand the technology to its logical extreme becomes apparent. Annie sees the dangers ahead, but May is drinking the Circle's Kool-Aid.
We all pay taxes. And what, 80% of us did that online last year? Why not stop duplicating services? Why not just make it all part of one unified system? You could pay your taxes, vote, pay your parking ticket, all through your Circle account. We'd save users hundreds of hours of inconvenience. We'd save the government billions.
Hundreds of billions.
We could eliminate half of it overnight.
Why wouldn't the government just build a similar service? Why doesn't they need us?
It would cost too much. They don't have the expertise. We already have the infrastructure.
You are absolutely right.
The government needs us more than we need them.
One unified system. It just makes so much sense. It's so practical, so convenient, so cost-effective. And it would save the government hundreds of billions of dollars. But if the Circle handles your taxes, can't they control where the money goes? If the Circle handles your vote, they'd not only know if you vote, they'd know how you vote. And if they know how you vote, can't they manipulate your vote? May seems oblivious to the monster she's helping to create until a social media experiment causes an accident that kills Mercer. And Annie leaves the Circle and goes off the grid. And friends, this movie raises a host of intriguing issues, but the issue we want to address today is raised by a question posed to May by Eamon Bailey.
Think you behave better or worse when you are being watched?
So, May, do you think you behave better or worse when you're being watched? Now, the title of today's lesson is Who Am I When Nobody's Watching? Who am I? It's a great question, isn't it? I mean, it's a question about our integrity. Who we really are. Or as the lesson title says, who am I when nobody's watching? Are there things we say and think and do and watch that we would never do if we knew somebody was watching? Last week we touched upon the topic of integrity, and today we're going to drill down on it in greater detail. And they're going to bring the lights up, and there's a box there at the top of your outline, and it's got the definition of integrity that we developed last week. And what we're going to do is we're going to go back over this, but then we're going to drill down in much deeper detail on the meaning of integrity. And it goes like this. Integrity is defined as consistent conformity. Consistent conformity of my thoughts, words, and actions to Christ likeness. Okay? Christ is the ultimate example of how we should live. That's the goal of every Christ follower, is to live as he lived and to develop his character, his attitudes, and his actions. And what happens when we begin to consistently conform our life to His, then how we live aligns with how we believe. Okay? And when we do this, our lives become integrated. That's what integrity is really based on, the integration of our private life and our public life, so that the two match up. Don't confuse, friends. Reputation and integrity, they are two very different things. Reputation does not equal integrity. Reputation is who others think I am. That's what reputation is. That's what other people think you are. But integrity is who I really am. It's a huge difference. Huge difference. Perhaps you remember this guy. His name was Lance Armstrong, professional road racing cyclist. He won the Tour de France, a record-setting 7 consecutive times from 1999 to 2005. His comeback to the sport after a bout with cancer was considered miraculous. He became the poster child for cancer research. People wore these Live Strong bracelets. They were all the rage. He was the one. He was idolized by athletes all over the world. That was his reputation. And then in 2012, it was discovered that he had paid a doctor over $1 million over a decade to inject him with performance-enhancing drugs. A court termed it almost certainly the most devious, sustained deception ever perpetrated in world sporting history. He was stripped of his victories and banned from cycling for life. Or perhaps you remember this woman, Rachel Dolezal, former head of the Spokane, Washington chapter of the National Association for the Advancement of Colored People, the NAACP. For years, Rachel presented herself as African American, even introducing to the public an elderly African American man as her dad. Only problem? These are her parents. And this is her as a teenager. In 2015, she had to step down from her position, not because she's white, because the NAACP doesn't discriminate in hiring on race. She had to step down because she misled people. She led them to believe one thing when in fact she was another. As one black activist tweeted, "Why not just be a white woman who supports black people?" Great question. Why not be, what's the word? Honest. Why not just be honest? Why not just be who you are? Why not be a person of integrity? Well, friends, our focus verse for this lesson series is found in the first chapter of the book of John. It's up here on the screens. Let's all recite it. Here we go. To all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn. Not with a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we're looking at a very important issue this morning. Because all of us in our lives at one time or another have reached one of those points where we realized what other people thought we were is not who we really were. And Father, our point today is to learn from your word how we can begin to integrate our lives so that we are consistently conforming our lives to your Son. Father, help us to think well this morning, for this is our prayer in Christ's name. Amen. So what does a life of integrity look like? And do we have to be watched? Do we have to be surveilled at all times by somebody else in order to live that kind of life? Now, friends, the Bible gives us a picture of what a life of integrity looks like. This picture was painted for us by King David, who wrote this in Psalm 15, and it goes like this. He says, "Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain?" Now, that may not make a whole lot of sense to you, okay? But here's how this goes, and it kind of helps to understand this. David wrote this psalm about 1,000 years before Jesus walked the earth. And at that time, the center of worship where people went to meet with God was a tent that was located on a mountain or really high hill in the very center of the city of Jerusalem. This sacred tent was known as the tabernacle. Some of you may have heard of the temple. That was actually built later on the same spot, okay? But in those days, the tabernacle was viewed as the dwelling place of God where people went to do business with God. And David is asking life's biggest question. He says, who can enjoy communion and fellowship with a holy God? That's the question he's asking. And don't miss this, because this is critical. Who's he addressing the question to? Look at those first two sentences. He's addressing the question to God. He says, Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy mountain? This is critical, friends. Notice what he's not doing. He's not asking his buddies. Hey, guys, what do you think? Do you think I'm a good person? Do you think I'm in okay with God? He's not asking his culture. He's not saying, you know, what does the culture think a good person is? He's not conducting a public opinion poll. He's saying, God, who can be in your presence? He's going right to the source, the only person in the whole universe that matters, God himself. God, who can live in community with you? And God answers. And God says, the one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to a neighbor, casts no slur on others, despises a vile person, but honors those who fear the Lord, who keeps his oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind, who lends money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent, whoever does these things will never be shaken. So what does a life of integrity look like? This passage covers a ton of stuff, but I think we can kind of group them into four major headings. And the first one goes like this. It begins with a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Now, let's just be honest, okay, guys? We're all flawed. We're all sinful human beings. We all do things we shouldn't do. We say things we shouldn't say. And we think things we should never think. And deep down inside, every one of us knows that living in the presence of a holy God is impossible for us. We're simply too imperfect, too flawed, too sinful. But that's why God sent his Son into the world, to solve our sin problem. The Bible says it this way, for there is one God and one mediator who can reconcile God and humanity, the man Jesus Christ. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time. You see, you and I are separated from God by sin, and there's only one person in the universe who can stand as a mediator, a go-between, between a holy God and sinful people. There's only one person who can reconcile sinful humanity to God, and that's Jesus Christ. So how did Jesus become our mediator? He took the punishment for our sins on the cross. He paid the price for our failures, and he gave his life so that we can live both in the here and now and also in eternity in communion with God. And notice that the Apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Timothy, refers to Jesus as the man, Christ Jesus. This is important. He's emphasizing that Jesus was fully man and fully God. That's why I use the word Christ, because Christ means the anointed one of God. So he's man, the man, Christ Jesus. Because of this, Jesus is the only perfect go-between between us and God. And when we accept him as our Savior and begin following his footsteps, we receive, as our focus verse says, the right to become children of God. In fact, the Apostle Paul goes on to say, for you are all children of God through faith in Christ Jesus, and all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ like putting on new clothes. There's no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male or female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And friends, we have a baptism celebration coming up in just 2 weeks. It's our annual summer baptism celebration. And people have been asking, okay, explain this to me. What is it all about? And baptism, friends, is an important moment in the life of any Christ follower. Why? Because we remember that Jesus modeled it for us. He modeled baptism when he was baptized by John in the Jordan River. So Jesus, first of all, set the example. And then secondly, Jesus commanded it in his last words on earth when he told his followers, go into all the world and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And Paul tells us why it's so important right in this verse. Notice what he said. It's that second sentence. And all who have been united with Christ in baptism have put on Christ, like putting on new clothes. You see, when we're united with Christ in baptism, we put off our old sinful self. And we put on a new self, a new spiritual life in Christ. It's not that we're perfect or that we're sinless, but we take on the sinlessness of Christ, like putting on a new set of clothes. How cool is that? That God gave us a way of taking care of all the failures and the sins and the things we've done that we regret. So a life of integrity begins with a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ, and then it continues with righteous conduct. Righteous conduct. Psalm 15 said, Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent, who may live on your holy mountain, the one whose walk is blameless, who does what is righteous, who does no wrong to a neighbor. Now this passage doesn't indicate that we're going to be perfect, but our lives are over time becoming more and more consistently conformed to Christ's likeness. This is something that can only happen as we grow deeper in our relationship with Jesus Christ. That's why Jesus said it this way, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. And then he said this, apart from me, you can do what? What did he say? Apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoa. Apart from me, you can do nothing. But when we remain in him, our lives can become lives of honesty and integrity, doing the right things for the right reasons, treating others with dignity and respect, standing up for what's good and true, even when it means standing alone. Friends, that's a life of integrity. That's what it means to have a blameless walk. So a life of integrity begins with a personal relationship with God. It continues with righteous conduct and also with truthful and gracious speech. Psalm 15 said, Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent, who may live on your holy mountain. And then it goes on to say, the one who speaks the truth from their heart, whose tongue utters no slander, casts no slur on others, keeps an oath even when it hurts, and does not change their mind. There's three major principles here, friends. First, speaks the truth from their heart. In other words, we speak the truth, yes, but from a heart of love. Okay? We don't use the truth like a blunt instrument to beat people up. We present truth with a heart of grace. And as the Bible says, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into him who is the head, that is Christ. In other words, when we speak lovingly the truth to other people, chances are they are more likely to grow up and to become more like Christ than when we condemn and beat down with our words. Must we speak the truth? Oh, yes. But how we speak it can make all the difference in the world, and we've got to speak it with grace. It goes on to say, when a tongue, whose tongue utters no slander and casts no slur on others, in other words, no gossip, no malicious talk, no stabbing other people in the back with your words. A very wise man said, a Christian is somebody who makes the best of everybody and the worst of nobody. Let me repeat that. A Christian is somebody who makes the best of everybody and the worst of nobody. Have you ever been around somebody who just found the best in people? Not that people aren't flawed and people don't have problems and sins and stuff like that. But have you ever found one of those people that you just like to be around because whatever it was in you, they saw the best in it? And it's like an encouragement to be around those people. And God knows that's what G&G ought to be for people. This ought to be a place where people come because you know what? The people here find the best in everybody and the worst in nobody. He goes on to say, this person keeps an oath even when it hurts and does not change their mind. Friends, for Christians, our words should be as good as gold. And when we make a promise to somebody or we give our word, it should be as solid as a rock. When we make a promise, it will be kept. Even when it hurts, even when it is not to our benefit, if we gave our word, we will follow through. You know, Jesus said it this way. He said, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, don't break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. But I tell you, and this is interesting, he says, I tell you, do not swear an oath at all, either by heaven, for it is God's throne, or by earth, for it is his footstool. All you need to say, wow, think about this. He says, all you need to say is yes or no. Anything beyond this comes from the evil one. He says, when you give your word, when you say yes, you better live yes. And when you say no, you need to live no. Don't go back on your word. Now, a life of integrity begins with a personal relationship with God. It continues with righteous conduct, truthful and gracious speech. And then the fourth thing that comes out of this passage, it includes protection for those in need. Think about this. He says, Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent, who may live on your holy hill? And then he says, those who lend money to the poor without interest, who does not accept a bribe against the innocent. You know, in those days, a lot of times what would happen is poor people would have to try and get a loan from somebody and they would charge them exorbitant interest. Why? So they could eventually take what they had and then also make them slaves. Common practice in Old Testament days. And David says, who lends the poor to the poor without interest. In other words, David is saying, you know, don't mess with people who are less fortunate than you. Do not take advantage of those people that don't have it as good as you. Don't accept a bribe against the innocent. I mean, the Bible has tons to say about how we treat people in need. Psalm 82 says, give justice to the poor and the orphan. Uphold the rights of the oppressed and the destitute. Rescue the poor and the helpless. Deliver them from the grasp of evil people. Friends, people, when they look at Good News Gathering, should see a place where they could run to if they're in trouble. A place where they would be protected from evil people. Proverbs 28 says, those who give to the poor will lack nothing, but those who close their eyes to them receive many curses. God will not ignore a people who ignore the poor. And that's why here at Good News Gathering, we put so much emphasis on the free sale. Because for years now, the people of Good News Gathering have just come together and they've gone through their houses and gathered up anything that they have that's in good shape and something that they would be willing to give to another loved one, but they give it away free at the free sale for people who are in need. And it's an awesome thing. That's why we also do the Haiti child sponsorships. Do you realize that for just $20 a month, you can pay for a child in Haiti for their tuition for school, their little uniform, which is cute as can be, and a meal a day. $20 a month. Right now, I'm proud to say that we have 150 people at this church who sponsor 228 kids. But there are 9 kids right now that we need to sponsor. And friends, in America, the richest country in the world, $20 a day is a month is not that big a deal. Now, friends, what's the result of a life of integrity? When we live in relationship with God through Jesus Christ and we practice righteous conduct and gracious and truthful speech and we protect those who are in need, what is the result? Psalm 15 tells us this. It says, Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live on your holy hill? And it says, whoever does these things
will never be shaken. Think about that. He says, when your life aligns with your beliefs, you will never be shaken. You can live with confidence because you're not worried about being found out. A life of integrity results in confidence. You're not scared that the truth about you will be discovered because you're living it every day. That's why Proverbs 10 says, whoever walks in integrity walks, circle this word, securely. This word is extremely important. Whoever walks in integrity walks securely, but whoever takes crooked paths will be found out. Think about it. When you live a life of integrity, you can sleep at night. You don't have to lay awake wondering, is somebody going to find out? What if I get caught? If my boss finds out, I'll lose my job. If my wife finds out that I've been gambling, what? Oh, heavens. What if my husband finds out I've been flirting with a guy at work? What if my life group finds out I'm looking at things on the internet I shouldn't be looking at? Phew. You see, when you live a life of integrity, that stuff's off the table. You don't have to worry about that stuff. I mean, let's flip it around. Maybe this will help you think of it from the opposite end. Have you ever laid awake at night thinking, what if somebody finds out I did the right thing? Oh no, this is going to cost me. No, we don't think like that. Because when we walk in integrity, we can have peace of mind, confidence, security, regardless of what's happening around us. That's the beauty of integrity. So what does integrity look like? It begins with a personal relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It continues with righteous conduct, truthful and gracious speech, protection for those in need, and it results in confidence. And friends, there in that box, the bottom of your outline, it says, my next step this week. And I don't know which one of these applies to you. Just check the box that you're going to try to do this week. But maybe the first thing you want to do is just recite Proverbs 2, 1 through 8. And some of you are thinking that's not on the outline. No, it's not on the outline. Because I want you to get your Bible out this week and look it up. And just recite that every day because it drills down on these integrity issues we've been talking about. Some of you have already stepped across that line of faith. You believe that Jesus is a son of God and he died for your sins. But you haven't been baptized yet. And friends, that baptism celebration is coming up on Sunday, July 30th. If you want to be a part of that, just take your communication card and right on the back, there's a box that says, I would like to be baptized. And if you check that, or if you'd just like to talk to somebody about what that means in your particular life, then just mark that box. I have spiritual questions and we'll get to you this week. Maybe what you need to do this week is volunteer to help with the back-to-school free sale. They got a table out there, sponsor a child in Haiti. They've got it set up out there as well. Or maybe what you need to do this week is pray for and invite an unchurched friend to G&G next Sunday. Friends, whatever it is you need to do, that's between you and God. But it's my hope and prayer that you'll think about what your next step is this week. And that you'll do whatever God is calling you to do. Friends, let's be people of integrity. Let's go to God in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day that you've given us. And for this time that we could spend with your family, reading your word. And Father, it's our hope and prayer that this morning we have learned what we need to know about how to live a life that truly is transparent before you, a life of integrity. Father, please help us to be the kind of Christians who live in a personal relationship with you through your Son. For this is our prayer in Christ's name. And we all agreed together and said,
Amen.
We hope you enjoyed this lesson from Good News Gathering. For more information, visit www.goodnewsgathering.org or check us out on Facebook.